Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is symbols. And before we begin our discussion, I might want to mention to you that we do have a little offer for you today that I think you'll be pleased with. We'll mention more about that later, and I think you'll be pleased with the price of the offer, too. But let's give some credit to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and she wrote 24 volumes of literature. And the main inspiration for the dialogue on this show comes from Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. There are many ways in which the intuition can be drawn into activity, and one of the most useful and potent is the study and interpretation of symbols. Can you begin by explaining what the intuition is and why it's related to the study of symbols?
Yes. Perhaps first to recap just a bit, we recently had a discussion about Atlantis, if you remember. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, as you introduced our program, that reminds all of us that we have an ability to see the world with new eyes and with new sight. That really is what lies behind the study of symbols. And when we were talking about Atlantis, we talked about this legend that is documented in so many different religious and cultural traditions. It's in the mythology of many different peoples of the world, and lies behind the myth of the flood and the lost continent that so many cultures speak of. These are symbols that have stayed in human consciousness that take on a significance according to the particular tradition of that culture. But Atlantis and the flood are symbolic of great events that happened to early humanity. Whether or not they really actually historically happened, the fact is that they have become ideas and beliefs that are teaching tools, you could say. They are deeply anchored in human consciousness and passed on from generation to generation, and that is the nature of symbols.
And there's also a relationship to the intuition to two other programs that we just did recently, and that's on meditation. And the great thing about symbols is that they are key to the techniques of meditation, and particularly the type of meditation that we use in the Lucis Trust and the Arcane School studies, based on the techniques of Raja Yoga. And the basic technique is the use of a seed thought. And, of course, a symbol makes an excellent seed thought for reflection. And so it's a matter of going back, tracing the inner meaning of symbols, that, and that's what we're going to discuss about today, I think. And that's really what the meditation techniques can help develop in a person.
Intuition, you could say, tries to build a bridge between a very abstract concept, or it's not even a concept at that stage, a recognition and awareness, building a bridge between that level of awareness and the waking consciousness of the lower concrete mind and the brain. That is also the function of a symbol, to build a bridge of meaning between what the symbol seems to represent and what thoughts and ideas and interpretations it evokes in the consciousness of someone who encounters the symbol. And this idea of learning to recognize symbols is part of the spiritual path. We are surrounded by various forms and representations that can have symbolic meaning and teaching for us if we see them in the way that is suggested by our opening thought, if we have the eyes to see them. I think that ancient man perhaps had more of an intuitive response to symbols. That person saw myths and symbols and occurrences and events and so on that he thought were full of meaning and import, and he spent a lot of time trying to make sense of them. This is something that was discussed in that series by Joseph Campbell, Masks of God, mm-hmm. that we recently watched again ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And symbols, I think, were probably the original language, the type mm-hmm. of language, the picture language, and even before words were developed, man had symbols and spoke probably more as in symbols and used symbols as a teaching tool to develop the mentality or the mind principle in early civilizations.
We discussed in a recent program, From the Unreal to the Real, the challenge of the spiritual seeker to get behind or move through the outer world of forms to the inner world of the real. And if you remember, we talked about how everything from an idea, even on an abstract level, to the table we are sitting at is a form, and therefore is not real, not eternal. It's representative of an inner vitality and life, even within the material substance that makes up the table. But it is not in itself real and lasting. And that's the nature of a symbol, as I understand it. It represents something that, if the mind is awakened and interpretive, can find meaning in, but is not itself the real thing. And so much of the way we live our lives is to dwell in the realm of symbols and mistake them for the real.
And if we could learn to look behind the symbols and to get beyond the outer actual form and not simply discuss the and to analyze the outer form of a symbol, then we really begin to get back to the original meaning, and even beyond that to the significance, because in the esoteric traditions it is said that there are three layers, three levels of interpretation that one can encounter if one has the ability to keep tracing his thoughts back further, you know, right to the original source, at the spiritual source.
Alice mm-hmm. Bailey said that he who sees all forms as symbols of reality, but not the reality itself, is well on the way to touching the unveiled self. And that's what we discussed in our program on The Unreal to the Real. She said that the reading of symbols produces contact with the soul. So a symbol is a form of some kind that veils or hides a thought or an idea or a truth. And it might be laid down as kind of a law that every form of every kind is a symbol, and at the same time a veil. The religious path is full of symbols, and those can be doorways to a greater understanding. They can also be limitations that serve as blocks, depending as you said, on how one approaches the symbol. If you just stay with it on the outer level, it eventually becomes a block. And yet our lives are filled with the beauty and imagination and inspiration of symbols. Poetry is an example of using symbols through words that expresses such beauty and can convey such meaning and break through a concept, kind of release the mind, startle it and release it. I think one example of a poet who could do that was E. Cummings, who could, with his use of language, present a recognition in the most startling and unique way.
And it's one of the drawbacks of words, actually, because if we rely on words alone to interpret symbols, then we get so caught up in the words themselves and they become actually a wall or a blockage to a deeper understanding. So it's sometimes, and particularly if one wants to bring through the intuitive recognition, you have to reach a point where you get beyond words, beyond the analytical aspect, beyond the analytical way of thinking, to more to the idea of concepts and primary ideas that exist behind all symbols.
I think that was something that Aldous Huxley touched on in The Perennial Philosophy. He said that everything, event or thought, is a point of intersection between a creature and the creator, meaning God or divinity, between a more or less distant manifestation of God and the unmanifest Godhead. So everything, every event, every thought can be made the doorway through which a soul can pass out of time into eternity. And he said that's why ritual and sacrament in religion can lead to the deliverance of the believer, to the liberation of the believer. Great religious rituals and sacraments can really be transporting and lift the consciousness into a realm of inspiration and receptivity to divine impression that would otherwise not be possible. But he said at the same time, every human being loves power and self-enhancement, so that every hallowed ceremony, every form of words, or every sacramental rite is a channel through which power can flow into the fulfillment of the separated self. So he said that's why ritual and sacramental religion can also, at the same time, lead away from deliverance. If you get stuck on the level of the symbol, it's no longer a device that liberates, but becomes its own kind of imprisonment.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and our topic for today is symbols, and I guess you would like to hear about that special offer that I mentioned before. And it is a special offer because generally you have to pay for shipping and handling when you purchase a book from Lucis Trust. But today, what you can do is, if you mention Inner Sight, you can order the book Ponder on This. Ponder on This is one of the Alice Bailey books. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and she wrote 24 volumes of literature. Ponder on This is one of those volumes. Ponder on This is more or less a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. I like it because when I peruse it, I come across a chapter that I might have a greater interest in than another idea, and I will focus on that, and I will get a book that relates to that chapter, and sometimes I'll get the whole book if I'm really excited by a particular idea that I see and ponder on this. So you might like it too, and this is a good offer, a good time to get it, because ordinarily you have to pay several dollars for shipping and handling. So mention that you, in order to get the offer, that is the special discount in the sense that you're not paying for shipping and handling, you do have to mention Inner Sight. You have to send a check or money order to Lucis Publishing Company. Just send a check or money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, $16 check or money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. So that's to get the free shipping and handling. You have to mention InnerSight. Also, we do welcome your support, and many of you have sent us donations. We need that support in order to keep these shows on the air. We would like you to continue supporting us. And by the way, hey, if there's anyone out there who's a wealthy benefactor and he's more or less mystified as to what he wants to donate to, we're here for you. And you can donate to Lucis Trust because, believe me, these radio shows are expensive, and although we're quite honored to be on this station, we need to pay for it, and that can be quite a challenge. So any donations that you would like to send to us, please do so. It'll help us to stay on the air. Send it to send the donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And for a general package of information, you're certainly welcome to call up on our toll-free number and ask for that general package of information. It tells you a lot about it. Lucis Trust, I think you'll find some of the literature within that package rather interesting. Call 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's 1-866. Think of New York Lucis. Our website, where you can key into our library of archived radio shows, is www.lucistrust.org. And I'd like to get back to our show on symbols. I once heard, and I thought it was a rather good definition of what a symbol is. A symbol is what it is and something more. Could you give more examples of particular symbols and their spiritual meaning?
Well, to build on your comment, a symbol is what it is and something more. I suppose that's related to a comment from Alice Bailey that said, every symbol has three levels of interpretation. It is itself the expression of an idea, and that idea has behind it, in turn, a purpose, or an impulse, you could say, that might not be recognizable. But with some work, some meditation, some pondering, you can mine that symbol for real wealth, for real gold. There's the obvious outer or exoteric interpretation of a symbol. A diamond is the symbol of perfection, something like that. But then on a deeper level, there's the subjective interpretation or meaning that reveals the idea lying behind the outer manifestation, the more abstract significance. What would be the abstract meaning of the diamond?
Well, it's related to the perfection. I mean, it's started out as a piece of coal, you know, mm-hmm. as carbon,
right.
And it's gone through a very rigorous stage of perfecting and reaching a high state of perfection. And I think it's like the rose or the flower, which is also believed to be the symbol of perfection.
And of transformation or transmutation
right.
through fire or pressure,
mm-hmm.
which is symbolic of the soul.
And that's what the man himself, ourself, has to undergo. We are undergoing this whole
pressure
and under fire,
mm-hmm.
literally sometimes.
Yeah.
But we're in a very long process of striving towards perfection.
Maybe that's why the Buddha was called the diamond-souled.
Mm-hmm.
He was perfected, mm-hmm. and he was also the product or the end result of a long, long process of incarnation that brought him to that level of realization that he broke through on behalf of all humanity. And there's a third level, which is the spiritual meaning, the esoteric meaning of a symbol. And this would involve the effect that the study of the symbol has on you. As you ponder it, what does it evoke within you? What inspiration or what kind of vibration does it arouse within you? Perhaps only within your emotions, but better still on the level of your mind or your intuition. So that comment that you made is interesting. There are levels of meaning and levels of approach to any symbol. We've talked about the diamond. There are so many symbols. So what? Well, another one is the triangle. We have an activity called Triangles, which we should talk about someday, but the triangle itself, Buckminster Fuller worked with.
Yes, it's a a symbol of stability, and as Mr. Fuller found in his structure, that if it's based on the triangle, then you have great stability. And I think that's one of the factors that lies behind the working out of a triangle.
Was it him or was it someone else who said the triangle's the most stable form in manifestation?
I don't know who said that, but it sounds right.
Maybe I said it.
But
related to the triangle is the symbolism of numbers. And we've talked in past programs about the spiritual significance of the numbers 1, 3, 7. There's a flow of energy from the 1, the central source or creator of all existence, who expresses himself or itself in a triple way.
And of course, the number 3 is a very esoteric number. It has a very deep spiritual meaning in religion. I mean, it's the Trinity, of course, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and there are numerous other trinities. In all the religions have their own trinity.
Hinduism,
right.
Vishnu, Shiva, Brahma.
Yeah, and Isis, Horus, and...
The other one.
Yeah.
I'm a little weak on my
We'll get phone calls about that.
Yeah. Ra, the sun god, I guess, is another.
Yeah. But 3 is a very...
Osiris? Isis, Osiris, and Horus?
Yeah, that sounds right. So 3 is a basic a number. And of course, the...
9. 9 is the number of initiation.
And 4... Of course, the 3 and the 4 in the esoteric work that we do in the Bailey teachings, the 3 and the 4 make the 7, which, you know, and the 7 is another very esoteric number. We have the 7 rays.
4 also being the symbol, symbolic number for matter and the cross of matter. Again, the 4 points of the cross being the symbol of the material realm. Mm-hmm. And Christ was crucified on the cross of matter. On a cross, symbolizing his death in matter, but he was liberated from that cross by the rolling away of the stone from his tomb. 3 days later, he arose. Mm. And that was his enactment, his demonstration of the liberation possible to every human life when freed from the grip of matter.
And the cross has very ancient... a very ancient history behind it, even before Christ.
Well before Christianity.
Yeah, and even back in Atlantean times, speaking of Atlantis, the major symbol, I believe, at that time was the straight line, the upward, the vertical line.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because it represented an alignment.
And an aspiration.
Aspiration, alignment, upward, towards the spirit, which was the thrust or the objective and goal.
And desire was so powerful in the Atlantean seeker.
And you have, coming out of that, you have the obelisk, you know, the upright, and that has been brought down through the centuries into this current day. And then to make the cross, you see, you have the vertical pole towards the upright, towards the spirit, but then the horizontal line, which represents the service aspect of the cross.
The outreach into the world.
Right.
Right.
And not only there's the Christian cross, but there's also the cross of service, which is called the equal-armed cross, and that's where it crosses at the very center. And man stands at the center of the cross and seeks the upward path, but also serves outwardly.
And the human form itself forms a kind of cross which Da Vinci, Leonardo da Vinci, depicted in his famous drawing of the human being standing with legs slightly apart and arms stretched out, that you can see in the head, torso, legs, the vertical arm, and the stretched out extended arms, the horizontal arm. And man's role is to stand at the point of intersection between the vertical and horizontal arms, between spirit and matter, blending the two so that through man's intervention and mediation, spirit can be manifest in the material realm. That's the whole objective and mission of humanity, the fourth middle mediating kingdom, to be a point of anchorage and of inlet for pure spirit to be anchored in material substance. What has happened is the distortion of that purpose through a love of matter that has evolved into materialism.
Yeah, it's said that the human form is intended to be the symbol which is made in the image of God. And it's an objective form veiling a divine thought or an idea or a truth. And
as above, so below.
Right. And the whole goal of evolution is to bring to perfection this symbolic form. So that's the great goal that lies behind man's purpose here on Earth.
There are so many other symbols. We can talk about them another time, but perhaps we could finish off with the circle and the point and perhaps pick it up next time. The circle being the symbol of all-inclusiveness, of wholeness, of completeness. The point being the representation of identity. As I've said before, there's that famous statement from Blavatsky that God is a circle whose circumference, whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere, all-inclusive. So that's one interpretation of the circle. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, the point at the center, of course, is the point of origination. So,
to be continued.
Okay, I hope you take advantage of our offer. It's a special offer in the sense that you'll get free shipping and handling on the book, the Alice Bailey book, which is entitled Ponder on This. It's a compilation of extracts from all 24 of the Alice Bailey books, and I think it's a good idea to get that book, especially because in that book you'll just find all of the topics, all of the Alice Bailey themes that you'll find are explored, of course, much further in the other full books on the topics. So send your check or money order for Ponder on This to Lucis Publishing. That's Lucis Publishing. Check or money order for $16 to Lucis, L-U-C-I-S. Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And also our toll-free number is 1-866-695-8247. The easy way, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.